Meanwhile, the NBA is off and running here in Orlando.
Styles the riddle. Jump shot is up. It is good! Scott Styles with his 30th assist for the night, and that's the new NBA record.
With the first pick in the 1992 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic selects Shaquille O'Neal.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to report a trade.
Here's Hardaway. Neal hammer home on Ewing.
Clock is down to 12, and Anderson stole the ball. Hardaway picks it up. Two on one. And he bounced past the grip. He does it.
Hello, Orlando Magic fans. It's the Hocus Podcast coming at you from rural Kentucky and Orlando alike, as we've connected here on Skype again. It's Brett David Roberts, 33 Trigger, joined by Chris Chartier. How are you doing this morning, Chris?
I'm doing good. It's always better after a win.
It is, but something felt hollow about that win to me, and I'm not sure what it is. I've been trying to put my finger on it. Toronto's a quality team. The Magic beat them by one. It was 48, pretty good. It's consistent basketball from what I watched, and I did not observe this game with the intent eye that I usually do, and I haven't the last few, so my apologies that I'm not going to be digging up any real advanced observations or anything fantastic to throw at you. But the Magic look good, and that's always the case when shots are falling. DJ Augustin was 7-10 from the floor. If he shoots like that every night, the Magic can beat Toronto. But sustainability and consistency has been the two things we've harped on since starting this podcast and all year for those who have been watching and covering the Magic. There's not a lot of it. And so I'm not walking away from this seeing DJ Augustin have a great game and think that he's going to do it again. That's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. With this game, it was one of those games where I think we're not going to get overly excited about it. I went and looked up our game log from this season, and the Magic have won consecutive games on four occasions this season. Their longest winning streak was early in the year when we beat Sacramento, Philadelphia, and we beat another bottom-of-the-barrel team. Yeah. in that string of wins. We've only had a three-game win streak one time this season, and we've only won consecutive games four times this season. And, I mean, sustainability, right?
Right. You know, one thing that did disappoint me on a almost irrelevant note, I was hoping Biyombo would come out and have a really good game against his former team. And it wasn't that he played bad. He played pretty well, actually. But he was a total non-impact statistically on the game, and that hurt in DFS. So I'll take this moment to introduce Draft app to you. That's Draft. If you enter the promo code ABPN, you get a 100% bonus on your deposit. It's easier to win than on DraftKings and then on FanDuel. You do a snake draft against other competitors so you don't have the same players on your team. That's a different feature to the app. And check it out. 100% bonus deposit. You know, that's always nice.
I got to say, I've been using it, and it's pretty fun. It sucks, though, when the person you're playing gets the first pick and they pick Russell Westbrook.
Right. I've thought about that quandary. The nights on DraftKings when Westbrook and Harden are both playing, it really throws you a curve because you have to draft them, and then you have to find a ton of bargain players to fill out a roster after spending that kind of money on one player. So there's that. But in this, it's a snake draft. So like he says, if only one of them is playing that night, you better hope you get that first pick.
Yeah.
That's a twist. Anyway, check out the Draft app.
Yep.
But Biyombo is an interesting pick in those DFS things because some games he comes out and gets a double-double, and other games, like last game, he played, I think it was 14 minutes around. Just a total non-impact statistically. He was setting good screens, moving around. The rebounds just weren't falling to his side when he was boxing out. That happens. Sometimes a player does a good job on the boards and walks away with two rebounds, you know, and that was the case. I thought he played an okay game. I just wanted to see him come out and beast it against Toronto, and that wasn't to be. Vucevic had one of his better games of the season with 25 points, some 10 rebounds, 5 assists, something of that nature. I could look here and get it exact for you. Let me do that. 25, 10, and 5. I was right. Okay, so anyway, that was a good game from Vucevic, but we're going to take that opportunity to mention that we heard Vucevic has been mentioned in links with the Boston Celtics. Now, that's like a dream scenario for the Magic because Boston has so many assets that they could flip that could improve this team, not the least of which is that pick, which may be a third draft pick even, coming from a team that's in contending status. That said, I feel bad for Boston fans if they're pinning a lot of hopes on Nikola Vucevic. He's a good interior scorer, but after five seasons of watching him, he's not ever going to be a good defender. He'll be a passable one, and they could probably hide him on Boston, but they have to hide Isaiah Thomas too. So then you're hiding two defenders. And Boston, you're making a mistake if you want Vucevic, but, you know, if they're going to throw the Magic a nice package, Jay Crowder in that pick or something, I'd be all over that. Crowder's the one that keeps coming up in talks with Boston because he's got so much value relative to his contract, but and the Magic need a small forward, and I don't know. I don't know if that's a pipe dream or not. And I don't know that Crowder's as good as I think he is. I think I may have overrated him.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what Boston would offer. Something in my gut tells me they would offer something of the likes like James Young, Tyler Zeller, stuff like that. You know, I don't think Vucevic is a highly sought after trade candidate. I mean, I think GMs in the league know. I mean, they know. They know. They know that this guy doesn't play defense. He's not a hot commodity in the trade market.
And Crowder kind of is, so maybe that is a total pipe dream. It's people will look at the stats and say, how is that not realistic? Crowder doesn't score that much, this, that, and the other, but he's a much better basketball player, and that's the guy I'd want if they're just going to get much of anything for Vucevic for Boston. Boston has too many teams want that pick for them to throw it into the Vucevic package, so I think that can just go to rest. That's not going to happen.
I have a Celtics fan, and I told him, we'll give you Vucevic for that first round pick from Brooklyn, and he's adamant on keeping it. I think the whole fan base is. They know. They believe they're one young stud away from seriously competing.
I think Boston has a lot of talent in that backcourt. Why not talk about Boston for a few minutes? The Magic are boring us to tears. Boston has a lot of talent in that backcourt with Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas. I see no harm in stacking another guard back there and just having a loaded backcourt. If they were able to get Lonzo Ball, because then you have a bigger guard to offset Thomas's 5'9"-ish with, you know. Boston is in a luxurious position right now, and they know it, and the whole league knows it. That's not to say they're going to win a title. LeBron James is still in the league, and every team he's on is going to contend because of that. But Boston's a very good team, and they're finally starting to show some of the signs of rounding into that form I thought they would preseason. Truthfully, they've slightly disappointed me. I thought they'd be a 55-win team, and that can still happen, of course. They are now 29-18 and have won 6 out of their last 10 and 3 straight. So they could still hone in on that 55 wins. I think they're the second-best team in the East. I think they're better than Toronto.
I do, too.
But not a lot of people probably agree with that. Even though they're a half game ahead in the standings, it's a Boston. And what does it for me is the coaching, you know, and that's what's made Boston what they are. They've had a good coach to round that young team into shape, get them playing defense, get them scoring at the same time. You hear all the talk about Boston being a defensive team. They average 108 points a game.
Yeah.
The Magic have 100, you know. That's scoring 8 points more a night is going to win you more games, and that's why Boston is 11 games over 500 and the Magic are now 11 games under 500.
But I think that what you just said is a testament to something I've been preaching to people, you know, around me that I talk to personally, and we talk basketball, and also to, I think I've said it on the podcast as well. I believe when you go through a rebuild, the first and most important thing is you need a good coach. And I think Boston with Brad Stevens is a testament to that. They put young players around a good coach. He taught them the right way. And now look at where they're at. I mean, Danny Ainge helped with him acquiring Isaiah Thomas and stuff like that. So it was a synergized effort for them to catapult back into contention. And the Magic haven't done that. We hired Jacque Vaughn. We kind of tried something with Scott Skiles, and that backfired. And now we're in Frank Vogel. So now that we have a good coach, maybe we should blow it up again.
That's funny, because I want to backtrack to something you were saying last podcast, which never made it to the air, by the way. We had a 17-minute hollow episode that you guys never heard. But Chris mentioned that Borrego never was given his full chance after becoming interim. And I stand on board with that. I'm not sure that Borrego was the right head coach for this team, but he was a fantastic assistant coach, and he really knows the game. So to see James Borrego get another chance somewhere else wouldn't surprise me. I wrote for an Australian site at the time, an article called The Rise of James Borrego. And it was a short-lived rise because he did have a good little tenure there, picking up disaster and keeping it competitive. they didn't win dramatically more games. I think they won about 34% of their games under Borrego, if I recall correctly.
But, he was 10-20. But what was interesting was when you look at the game log of that season under Jock Vaughn, it was a string of L's and then a couple wins scattered in and out. And when James Borrego took over, one thing I noticed about him immediately was his lineups and rotations were always on point, I thought. And we would actually win. We won two sets of three games each, including, I think, one over the Pacers when they were really good before Paul George had his leg injury. So, I mean, the team started looking better, but James Borrego was just in an unfavorable situation in that the Magic were desperate to make the playoffs. They didn't want to take a chance with this guy. So they in favor of Skiles, which I thought was a mistake. Right now, he's, I think, the lead assistant coach to Greg Popovich in San Antonio.
Yeah, went back home. Well, the thing about it is, under Borrego, you felt like you could observe some trends in sustainability. I keep going back to that, and I just don't see that. The Magic have lost three straight, and then they somehow beat Toronto by a point. But their last win before that was the Bucks, which was preceded by three losses. A win preceded by four losses. It's losing basketball all the way around, and it's really hard to take a game like that Toronto game and pin much on it. It really is. Because I look at a quality win and I shrug my shoulders because the Magic are still 11 games under 500, and the wins aren't coming consistently enough. And they play Minnesota tonight. That's a chance for a win.
Our next four is Indiana, Toronto, both at home.
It isn't always easy.
Sorry.
No problem. And then we go on the road and we play Atlanta and Houston. So, I mean, looking at that, you're thinking, okay, this team, realistically, not being biased, we are fans, but they probably lose all those games, okay? They're not favored in any of them. But they, surprisingly, knowing this team, they'll beat, you know, an Atlanta or Houston. Or you know, like, they'll pick up the one that you don't think they're going to pick up, and they'll lose the ones they should be in the game.
Right. Minnesota's kind of hot. They've won four of their last five. They've knocked off some crappy teams. The Clippers are all beat up. The Nuggets are looking good, but they beat the Nuggets too. Beat the Suns by a point. Lost to Indiana by six. And last night, they took it to the Brooklyn Nets and won by 20, which is, you know, so what. The Timberwolves are a team that received an immense amount of preseason hype, and they're sitting in the same place as the Magic right now, 11 games below 500. I'm not surprised. There's too much youth on that team and not enough veteran leadership. KG's retirement for the blip it was in the offseason was huge to that team, actually. They should have probably found a way to bring him aboard as an assistant coach, but maybe KG just wants to have some fun now. I don't know KG's agenda, but they need to get a veteran on that team. And they need something that we identified on the three-guard rotation as vital to a contending team. It's something I hadn't really thought about as absolute necessity. If you're going to contend, you have to have a defensive quarterback in your lineup, somebody that can call out rotations, get guys in the right place, hold guys accountable when they mess up or slip up or don't show enough effort. The Magic don't have that. Minnesota doesn't have that. And a lot of these teams that are young, and the Magic aren't even a young team. I don't think a lot of people are referring to them as that anymore. They have enough veteran leadership. So
look, real quick, when you were talking about the T-Wolves, what's interesting is I was looking at some of their players. And so their starting five next season is going to be Rubio, LaVine, Wiggins, Gorgie, and Karl-Anthony Towns, okay? Barring a trade this season or over the offseason. But when you look at that lineup, you go, okay, where's the holes? But the defensive awareness or the defensive rating of Andrew Wiggins has been horrible. I went and looked at it, and I read a lot of comments on T-Wolves blogs, and they do not like Andrew Wiggins' defense. They talk about Zach LaVine not playing any defense. So there's definitely a defensive issue like the Magic have.
Yeah.
But with them having Tom Thibodeau, I think they're going in the right direction. But you wonder where they're going to build off of. It's interesting.
See, an interesting thing about Wiggins is that matches the eye test. Because when I watch the guy play, I see a scorer.
Yeah.
That's not really thinking about much else. And that's disappointing because when he came into the league, people were saying he had locked down Scottie Pippen, like two-way potential. And of course, you know, we all want to see the next Pippen, and so many small forwards are billed as that, and so few of them come anywhere close. But for the Timberwolves to take the next step, they're going to have to start playing some defense. I'm going to look real quick and see how many points they're giving up a game, because I think it's among the worst in the league. I know there's somebody that when I play those DFS apps, I target the Timberwolves a lot. They give up a lot of points.
What they have going for them that the Magic don't necessarily is that they have a Karl Anthony Towns. They have their player that they can 100% build around. Yeah. He can protect the paint. He's a hybrid, new-age center that can step out, hit threes, take your man to the basket. He's kind of a do-it-all. And we don't have that in Orlando. We don't have that well-rounded player that can do everything. So that's their advantage on us.
Well, they're only giving up 104.7, so it's not as bad as I thought. But they're only scoring 104, so that's negative, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is a game-changer. But there's so few of those guys in the league, and the Magic haven't got one yet. And it, maybe this next rebuild of the rebuild, Nets one of those kind of guys. I'd love to see it be a franchise big, but this draft is guard heavy. So perfect segue to the draft. The Magic now have the 7th best chance at the number one pick.
You know what's interesting about that is that there's some site, and I forgive me for not knowing what it is, but they project the Magic to have a 50% chance to land a top 3 pick this draft.
I know what site you're talking about too. I've seen people, you can conduct mocks on it, am I right?
Yeah, I think.
It like scrambles it up completely randomly. Yeah, I don't put any stock in those things, but ideally the Magic get a top 2 pick. They're going to have to tank harder. No one wants to see those losses pour in, except I think a lot of us frustrated fans that see this as year 5 and there's been so little progress made. And the fact that there are a couple players in this draft that could change a franchise. Starting at the top, there's Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball. Those are the two guys that we keep keying in on the most. And then there's Dennis Smith at NC State, who I know almost nothing about, but he's right there with them in mock projections. All three of those guys are point guards. Now, Elfrid Payton has started to look better and started to sell me on him as a player, as a starting NBA point guard. That said, if you can get Lonzo Ball or Markelle Fultz, I think you start over anyway.
I was just going to say that. If the Magic somehow, some way, land the number one pick in this draft, I'm sorry. It's Markelle Fultz, and that's what you do. You know, you might have to move Elfrid. You might try him out next to him. But yeah, that's just nature of the business.
And if they don't land that high pick and fall somewhere in the 6 or 7 range, there's talent available there too. You're looking at guys like De'Aaron Fox, Josh Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, and Malik Monk would be the 4 or 5 you'd be keying in on most probably there in that range. I like both the Kentucky guards, Fox and Monk. I'm not sure who's the better point guard because they're both combo guards, and that's fine in today's NBA. I think you could put 2 combo guards in your backcourt and be just as fine as with 1 point guard. That said, I think if you go Fox or Monk, you're moving away from Elfrid Payton most likely too, you know?
You think so? I would think that Malik Monk would be kind of more of a 2 guard than anything. I like Malik Monk after if we can't get a point guard. Jonathan Isaac is interesting. The only thing that concerns me with them is that this team is so devoid of shooting, and a lot of these players outside the point guards are very, they have a lack of shooting. And so it's like, do we really want to take on a player that's going to be a project trying to get him to shoot after going through Aaron Gordon and Elfrid Payton? It's the only thing that gets me with them. That's why I like Malik Monk after. If you don't get top 3, Malik Monk and Dennis Smith, I haven't watched him, but I do know that he's not a defensive point guard. He is a high-volume shooting point guard that can light defenses up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's kind of the opposite of Elfrid Payton.
Now, as far as Josh Jackson, I have seen some of him. And what he reminds me of is Paul George. And they even both went to Kansas for that. So there you go. That said, Paul George is a free agent in a couple of years anyway. And if Frank Vogel's still here, that's a guy that I think all Magic fans would quickly take in a Magic uniform if the chance presented itself. So if the Magic got a premier rookie and then added that free agent 2 years down the road, they'd be there.
I mean, don't look now, but there's quotes from Paul George talking about the fans booing the Pacers. He said that it hasn't been fun playing basketball this right. season. They just need to get back to the basics.
All's not well in Indiana. Not at all.
Yeah, there's been talk, and so I don't think anything will happen right now because I don't know where they're at in regards to the playoffs. But barring something happening, Paul George might demand out or something.
I mean, they're sitting there in that sixth seed right now in the East. And unless they move up to the 4 or 5, they're going to face Boston, Toronto, or Cleveland in the first round. I don't like them against any of those three teams. Now, the Pacers are kind of in a nice position in that they can let Paul George go and start rebuilding around Miles Turner.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, given the lack of success they've had this season, when all indicators were that this team was going to be what we would call an Eastern Conference contender. I wouldn't say they're anywhere near the real level of a true contender, but second round threats, they're not that anymore. And Vogel and Paul George, I think, have a pretty good relationship. So I would,
they do.
I don't want to like start pinning all my hopes on a hashtag Paul George 2018 or whatever, and just to see it not happen. But if the Magic get a premier rookie, tinker with the roster a little bit, and then add Paul George or Jimmy Butler or a premier swingman. That's a quick fix to get this team back into the playoffs. The next level of contention is a whole other mystery that teams take years sometimes and never break through to get to. But the Magic, at this point, I think can pin their hopes as much on a free agent as a rookie. They're both mystery boxes. You don't know you're going to sign the guy. You don't know the rookie's going to pan out. But with a complete rebuild on the horizon, I'm looking – And it'll probably be even a focus of upcoming shows at the 2018 draft class, or the 2018 free agent class, excuse me, and other guys that might be available, because it might take a game-changing signing for this franchise to turn around. It happened with Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter and Grant Hill, rather, to some extent. Of course, Grant Hill is a whole other – he's a whole podcast by himself, but, you know – Paul George isn't Tracy McGrady. He's not as young as the Magic got Tracy McGrady. But at this point, I'd be cool with signing a good, established veteran free agent in a couple of years and getting this team back into the playoffs and fielding a competitive product, because you can't rely on the Magic winning from night to night. Against any given team, they can lose to Philadelphia and beat Toronto. You know, they're just and I don't want to pin that all on coaching. People are so quick to do that. That's when the team's that inconsistent. Oh, it's poor coaching. I think Vogel's done an okay job. His rotations are questionable sometimes, but that's a product of his roster too. He's got a lot of mismatched pieces. Aaron Gordon is a hybrid forward, throws everything into confusion really. When trying to put a lineup out on the court that can score, defend, and make sense, it's not the easiest with the pieces the Magic have in Vogel's defense.
I mean, I know I've been critical of Frank Vogel, and I'm not the type of guy to want to fire someone after a season, because obviously there's progression involved. Basketball is kind of a journey with a team. You grow. And I think Vogel hasn't done a terrible job, but there's been a lot of things that have been very questionable about him. And granted, he hasn't had a good collection of pieces on this roster to put together. But, I mean, it's our job. We got to hold these people accountable, you know, and we got to be fair and we got to be unbiased. And, you know, it's nothing personal about someone. If I comment on, you know, what they're doing or their strategy, it's just my observation. And, you know, we don't try to be personal with it, but I think Frank Vogel's, he deserves 2 more years of evaluation. I mean, you want to see progress though, as little as it is, you want to see progress. One thing I'm looking at that I was curious while you were talking, we beat Toronto last night, right? And then we lost to the Celtics 2 nights earlier by 30.
Right.
So these teams are 2 and 3 in the East with almost identically the same record. Mm-hmm. So one team we lose by 30, one team we beat by 1. I'm looking at it, and the Toronto game, I think that's just a game that we win solely based on some outliers in performances. You know, Jeff Green had a good game. DJ Augustine had a great game. Nick Vucevic had a great game as well. Jeff Green against Boston had 2 points. DJ Augustine had 6 points.
Right.
You know, when those are the games those players normally have. You know, DJ Augustine normally will play a little better, but that's right. What happens. And when you have the outlier of games, you're gonna win one, and you might win a game you're not supposed to win. In the NBA, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, that kind of capitulates the morals of bad teams, and that you just don't get the consistent performances from these guys that are fringe rotation players. How many teams can you point at and say DJ Augustine would get a lot of minutes on that team? Orlando.
So check this out. After the Toronto game, I was on Twitter, and someone like tagged Vucevic and said, you know, speaking for all Magic fans, you know, we want you here. And I wrote him back and I said, speak for yourself, trade him. And he got upset, quoted my tweet, told me I wasn't like, I was the worst Magic fan. And it's like, it's tough when that happens, because you're sitting there, you got a fan base that loves Nick Vucevic, but they get so hyped after one game. You know, I've been watching him for the last 4 or 5 seasons since the rebuild happened. One game's not going to change that for me. I've watched. His argument against it was his defense has gotten better. But if you check his defensive rating, it's 105. Last season, it was 105. The season before that, it was 106. You know, it has the eye test. It's gotten better. But like you said, it's just going to be passable. That this may be the best defense you're going to see Nick Vucevic have, and it's still just passable.
Right.
He's an isolation player. You throw the ball down into him. He doesn't use his footwork as much as he should. He settles for mid-range. He bogs down the offense. He can't guard a pick and roll. I mean, does anyone remember when the Magic were on a 12-game losing streak to Washington? You know what Washington does? They run an excellent pick and roll.
And Gortat finishes as well.
Yeah, Gortat Wall is one of the most effective pick and rolls in the league.
And Gortat covers the pick and roll well. He's probably one of the best pick and roll centers in the NBA. And he's not one of the best centers in the NBA, but he's one of the best at the offensive pick and roll and the defensive pick and roll. Look how important that is. Washington's playing really, really well right now. They lack depth, and that's ultimately their downfall and what's going to keep them from getting anywhere right now. But at least you can add depth with a solid offseason and the right signings. Jason Smith and Nicholson weren't that. We knew that. we knew that before they knew that. But but you know, they had the right bench pieces, and they're there. Whereas with the Magic, there's no John Wall on the roster, and But again, that this draft offers the chance to add a John Wall like talent in Lonzo Ball and Markel Fultz. I'm not saying their NBA comparison is John Wall by any means whatsoever. Lonzo Ball has been compared most to Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd at Cal was something else, man, back in the 90s. He would throw these full court bounce passes between three defenders that would reach the guy every time. The way he could ignite a fast break in one pass, one strong outlet pass, was just incredible. So I haven't seen a lot of Lonzo Ball yet, and I probably won't until March, when you know March Madness rolls around.
Oh yeah,
I'll catch up on some of these guys. I'll probably watch some YouTube clips, and then you know, as the season winds down, you can expect this show to become more and more draft heavy. I think that's the way it's headed.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll close on that note, unless you have anything else you wanted to add.
Very briefly, I just want to say, you know, some of my thoughts on Vucevic there.
Okay.
I still believe we should trade him. I think him coming out saying it's the best player on the team, he should start, which I understand what he's saying, and he's being confident. But it's just, I don't think that's the type of mindset the team needs. I don't think he's the best player on the team. I think some nights he is. There's not really a definitive best player. You know, you're the best player on this team for the last 5 years, and this team has been lottery bound the last 5 years. I mean, that says something. Mm-hmm. My other thing I wanted to say was Mario Hezonja received 0 minutes. Not happy about it, but I understand it. Other than that, yeah, I mean, draft-oriented, as the season wears on, we're going to try to keep getting fresh stories up and just takes. Love the Magic. I love the team. I want to see them do well. But I'm not going to live in a fantasy land here on this podcast. You know, we're going to hold people accountable, and this is what it is.
Yeah, there's no way to sugarcoat 11 games under 500 and 5 years straight of non-playoff basketball. So we're not going to try to do that. We're going to try to pick up the pieces, as the Magic must now do moving forward, whether that means a new GM, whether it means trading Ibaka, Vucevic. I think everybody on the roster is trade bait, maybe except Aaron Gordon, and I only say that maybe. You know, so February 23rd is the trade deadline. Circle on your calendar. Something will happen. Will it be good? Will it be bad? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
All right.
All righty. Stay tuned, Magic fans. We'll be coming at you after this Minnesota game, hopefully with the 2-game win streak to talk about. That'd be kind of cool. You know, when we're relying on 20 points from DJ Augustine on 7-10 shooting or whatever, I'm not expecting a win. I'm hoping for one.
Yeah.
See you later, Magic fans.